All right, so now we're recording. All right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do prepping the kitchen. Can you guys just give me a little, I think you can either give me a thumb. No, you can't do that in this. Here's what you can do, though. In the chat, I want you to just say one word. I want you to say, hell yes. I guess that's two words. And let me know if you're ready to talk about prepping the kitchen. I will just tell all of you, this is my favorite topic of all the things. And let me tell you why this is my favorite. So back when I weighed 250, I don't know if you guys know this, but I literally did not know how to cook. Not a lick. I knew nothing of the kitchen. I grew up with a single mom who, like, we just ate in the drive-thru. I remember up until the age of 9. So I grew up in the 70s and the early 80s. We either ate at KFC, Hardee's, or McDonald's. Those were the big three. And what we would do is we would do like 4 or 5 weeks, every meal would come from Hardee's. And we'd get sick of Hardee's. So then we would go to the KFC because then we would just get chicken. And then we would get sick of chicken and we would rotate to McDonald's. And that was like our trifecta of restaurants that we ate at. We just didn't cook. My mom was broke. She always had jobs. There was no doing that. And so when I, you know, like got married and everything, I really did not know how to cook. I could probably do something in the kitchen, but most of the time it tasted like shit or I was too afraid of it. I even remember like my mom telling us, and God love my mom. This is like, I'm not like throwing my mom under the bus, but I've told this story 1,000 times. Like she wouldn't buy us fruit. She would talk about how complicated it was, you know, like ugh, you got to get out a knife and all this other stuff. Little did I know, we just didn't really have good utensils and things. So that's one of the reasons why we didn't do fruit, because it was really hard when you're trying to cut like an orange with a butter knife. And so I, in my 20s and 30s, I stayed away from fruit forever because I just kept thinking it must be impossible to prepare fruit. Like I really thought these things. And so when I, you know, got serious about, all right, I'm going to change my life and all this other stuff. Everything that I did in the very beginning, I didn't do food prep at all. I take that back. Here's the food prep that I did. I bought Weight Watchers meals. And then I remember when I went to an Albertsons and I walked through the produce section. And I'm not joking. This is like 15 years ago. The very first cut fruit by the produce department was sitting there. You had never seen this before that. And I was like, what the fuck? Somebody cut up watermelon? The heavens opened for me. So everything that I did in the beginning was I would buy everything that was pre-made and then I would eat some of those things. And then like, you know, we would order pizza and we would just make tweaks to pizza and stuff. So when I lost the first load of my weight, y'all, I was not in my kitchen doing elaborate food preps like you see on Pinterest or any of that other shit. I literally was someone who started with, all right, well, I like these frozen dinners. I can eat those for lunch now. And then we can still have our pizza. We can still go out. We can do what we need to do at dinner. So I did a lot of that stuff in the beginning. And then as I started losing weight and I started getting healthier, I started tinkering with some cooking, tinkering with things. When I literally first started making chicken, I didn't know how. So I would take pre-cut chicken tenders and I would boil them in water because I was terrified. And we would just put like ketchup and shit on there because I was so terrified that if I cooked it in the oven, it would be really dry. So it made sense to me that it would cook all the way through and it would be moist if it was boiled. Like, God love my husband for staying with me through all of it. But that's where I started. So the reason why I love talking about prepping and food prep and all that kind of stuff with the kitchen is because I really learned a lot over the years by simply having one thought in my brain. I want to be someone that eats healthy. And for me, being someone that ate healthy meant she learned how to cook. She figured it out. She goes through a lot of meals that taste like absolute dog crap until she figures out meals that work. I also knew that wanting to be someone that was healthy, I had to meet myself where I was at with several of the things that went on in my kitchen. One of which was I needed to make sure that I, you know, like set my kitchen up in a way that when I walked in, I felt comfortable, I felt safe, it felt inviting, and it felt like a place that I could make good choices. Even when my son and my husband are going to eat whatever they want. So I figured it out, and that's what I really want today for you. I want you to have that knowledge of how to make sure that your kitchen is a place that you don't go in either because you're escaping your life, or you go in and you're scared as hell that you're going to overeat. Because I know a lot of us go through that. All right. So keys to wanting your food. Number one. So people ask me all the time, like, well, how do you just want to eat healthy? You don't at first. A lot of us just aren't going to want to eat healthy at first. You know, we're going to want the stuff that we've always ate. And the thing that I'm teaching you all week long is there's nothing wrong with those foods. So I want everyone to quit thinking that there's like you do better than someone else if you're eating salad, or I'm going to do better if I'm just eating perfectly. Guys, it is not to say that those foods aren't good for you, but we have the long haul when it comes to losing weight. The long haul means not only do I want to lose weight, but I want to make sure that I get all the way to my goal. And then once I'm at my goal, I have zero reasons to ever want to go back again. If you set up your weight loss too aggressively in the beginning, number one, you're probably not going to get very far. You will burn out if you take away all the foods that you love. You just will. And you will not have established a relationship with those foods. You will not have practiced eating them with calm, looking forward to it, enjoyment and stuff. If you take them away in the beginning and you're like, no, I'm just going to lose weight. I'm just going to eat these foods. And I'm just going to do this diet mentality. The problem comes the second you reintroduce them, your brain has no connection to them other than, hey, these are those foods you really love that you always stuff yourself like a sumo wrestler on. Hey, these are I remember this food. This is our bench food. Hey, I remember this food. This is the food that we eat on a bad day. And we eat so much of it because I know you're going to take it away again. You've got to not do that anymore. Can't do that anymore. So what I want you guys to think about is when you're first getting started, the other problem that arises is that if you do it too hard and beginning, not only do you burn out fast, but the other thing is that for the long haul, like when you get to the end, you've never included enjoyment with your food. You've done this. It's like, well, I like this food because it gets my weight off. Well, I like this food because it gets me results. Well, I like this food because of these things. Well, once you lose your weight, if it's not going to produce any more weight loss and it's not going to give you any more results, it's just what you do, you have no other reason to like them. Reason's gone. Your why for eating them evaporates. Now you're in the have to eat stage. I have to eat these foods. And then you start feeling like your whole food life is a drudgery. And that is not what we want. A normal eating pattern is one where your food life feels inviting. It feels nurturing. It feels caring. If you enjoy it, that's the thing. So if you want your food, the first thing you have to do is you make shit you like to eat. That includes all the things that you think you can't have. Our goal in weight loss is not to eliminate foods. Our goal in weight loss is to enjoy our foods in a way that allows our body to stabilize at the weight it's supposed to be. It is to enjoy the foods and learn to have a relationship with them so that we're not eating them because of a bad day, and we're not eating them because we feel like we need to punish ourselves, and we're not eating them because we should get rewarded. We're literally eating them because we absolutely enjoy them. We look forward to them. And when we have them, we have no reason to overeat them ever again. The other thing to wanting your food is to keep great, easy choices front and center. One of the things that people ask me all the time is like, well, how do you want to eat? Like, let's say you are going to eat like a few salads, or you are going to eat some healthier things. Like, you're ready for that step. You actually want to have those. Well, one of the easiest ways to want healthier food is not to go out and buy a bunch of healthy food, stick it in your fridge, and depend on the version of you who's fucking tired and exhausted from their life at the end of the day to suddenly turn into Martha Stewart and whip up that Pinterest recipe you found. It's a no. The easiest way to want your food, I want you to think about this. Whatever foods you're putting on your plan, whatever foods you're going to be keeping in your house, that in the moment you are your most stressed out, emotionally wore out and tired, that's how you decide if that food is going to get picked. When you're sitting there and you're making your food and you're doing stuff, if you're like, I don't know, on my most emotionally stressed and tired, will I want to eat this? Or will it be damn near impossible for me to pull the trigger? If the answer is damn near impossible, you've got to question why you're trying to start right now with that. One day you might be able to get there. I'm going to tell you, I have plenty of clients who, you know, their food, like I'm a classic example. When I first started up through about the first half of my weight loss, I ate very differently than I eat now. I wasn't ready to eat the way I do now. The way that I eat now, I love it, but I've grown to love it over time because as I was losing weight, what I did was sit there and get some results, feel a little better, start taking control over foods. It wasn't scary to let go of my ice cream, and it wasn't scary to let go of those things because I knew that when I was going to stop eating them every night, it wasn't because I was telling myself I can't have them anymore. It was because I'd had them and I was getting way more interested in feeling better, having control and stuff. And so I started planning other stuff because I wanted to try it. There was a desire and a compelling thing. I wasn't forcing myself. I wasn't talking down to myself to it. It was just like, you know, I don't know that I need my ice cream every night anymore. I think I want to try a couple of nights without it. I just want to see what will happen. And that's when I started realizing like, oh, I don't need it every night. I actually can be happier without it because now I'm thinking better thoughts about me. Before, I was eating the ice cream because I didn't have a good relationship with me. I needed the ice cream because at the end of the day, I was so wore out and so hard on myself and so just wishing I could go to bed and just hoping tomorrow would be better that I needed the ice cream to cope with how I was thinking. And when I really worked on how I was thinking, I was like, I don't know that I need my ice cream as much. The reason for the nighttime eating and stuff was being removed by what I was doing for myself mentally. That's how we end up losing weight. That's why I always tell you guys the mental weight has to come off while that physical weight's coming off. It just does. The other thing to keep wanting your food is tidy up weekly. So one of the things that, like, this is such a little mind trick and it's such a little mind hack, but I will tell you makes all the difference in the world. Your brain doesn't like to see chaos, and when it sees chaos, it feels very threatened. So if you will just spend literally 10 minutes a week and do a fast purge in your kitchen, all you have to do is go to your pantry and just throw out stuff that you guys aren't eating, check a few labels. You don't have to overhaul the entire pantry. You don't have to overhaul the entire fridge all at once, but I promise you 10 minutes a week of just, you know, bags where there's like this much food left and it's only crumbs, but nobody's fucking brave enough to throw it in the trash. I'm right there with all the moms. My son loves nothing better than to open up bags of cereal and chips and shit, eat it till there's the like nub crumbs that nobody wants in the bottom, and then he'll roll it up and put a chip clip on it. I'm like, well, I appreciate you clipping it, son, but there ain't no food in there. And so I look and it just looks like we just have random shit everywhere. So you know what? It matters to me. I tell him all the time, like, hey, this could be thrown in the trash. But you know what I also do? I know that for my mental health, that if the refrigerator's tidy and the pantry's tidy, guess what? I feel less chaotic. So it is what I consider self-care for me every single week to go in there, clean a few things out. I don't sit there and be like, oh my God, nobody helps me. Oh my God, nobody supports my weight loss. I don't do that bullshit. You know why? It's a waste of time. There's no sense in being a victim of that shit. It's chip bags. It's 10 minutes of your week for your own mental sanity. Get your ass up in there and do it for you. Do not waste time. I swear to God, somebody's going to say like, well, shouldn't your son learn a lesson? It's like, look, I tell him, but you know what? It don't bother him. You know why? You know how I know? Because he keeps doing it. You know who it bothers? Me. So if it's going to bother me, I'm going to fix shit. I ain't waiting on some man to come like rescue my ass. You know what I'm going to do? Stand up for me, for me. This is like, I get off on tangents on this stuff, but one of the biggest things that I watch women do all the time is sit around and eat their face off and not solve their weight problem, waiting for somebody in their house to take the reins and do shit. I'm like, what the fuck are you even talking about? Seriously. You want to lose weight? You work on it. Don't be waiting for somebody else to encourage you, and don't be waiting on somebody else to do shit for you. Do it yourself. It matters to you. That's your job. It ain't somebody else's job to make sure that your life is comfortable enough to lose your weight. That's your job. You don't feel good with your self-esteem? Quit waiting on somebody else to lift it up. That's your job. Here's how I know. I got hundreds and hundreds of women in my group right now, my private group, who have supportive people in their life. Tell them day in and day out all the things. And you know what? They feel like shit about themselves still. Your self-esteem and your self-worth is always on you. It is on you to improve it. It is on you to decide what you listen to and what you don't. It is on you to decide if somebody has an asshole opinion or somebody's not doing something that you want them to do, if you're going to rise up and do for you, or if you're going to sit there and wait on them to change, or sit there and listen to their opinion as if it matters more than your own. When you believe somebody else's opinion about you, here's what I know. You ain't going to work on your own damn opinion. Because the more you work on loving yourself and caring about yourself and thinking about yourself, the less those opinions make sense to you. The less you care about them. All right, that was like a little tangent. All right, another key to wanting your food, plan ahead. This is the best way to want your food. When you make your daily plan and you put foods on there you like and you look forward to, guess what? You want to eat it. It ain't complicated. But you got to start with putting shit on there that you like and that you will want to eat. That is the key. And then I promise you that when you're planning ahead and you're getting the foods that you want to eat, the desire to overeat them goes down over time. So when we're talking about stopping when you've had enough, some of you are not going to stop when you've had enough in the beginning because you haven't had enough. Your brain doesn't realize that you're not taking these foods away anymore. It's only probably ate those foods in reaction to bad days and you restricting in diets. It takes a few reps before you get to where like, oh, we're like having the pizza more regularly. I guess I can stop sending up the signal. You should eat all you can because I don't know when you'll get it again. Makes sense. And the last thing, the key to wanting your food is don't have off-limit foods. Only have planned foods. On our call on Tuesday, we're going to talk more about the good, better, best method where it eliminates the bad food mentality. So as you're planning this week, there are no foods off limits. Everybody take a big breath in right now and blow the bullshit off limit thinking right on out your mouth. I will say for the final time, there are no off-limit foods this week. None. Don't do it to yourself. The last thing I want anybody practicing during my Food Made Easy challenge, remember the fucking name of the challenge is Food Made Easy, is to sit there and think that there are foods that you shouldn't eat. Now, that means some of you are going to be sitting there planning foods that your brain's going to be like, alert, alert, bad girl, you're doing horrible. That's the point. I want all of that to come up this week. You need to know that you have fear around certain foods, and we've got to unwind the fear before you'll ever have control and feel ease around food. The only way, though, is got to bring it all up. Remember yesterday I talked to you about you're going to do the four basics and what's going to happen. The blueprint to success is going to get laid out in front of you. That means all the foods that you have fears around, you're going to be planning some of that stuff this week. Sometimes you're going to eat past not having more than you need. You might eat till full and stuff. Guys, you got to know what you told yourself. Blueprint to success just got chalked up one more time. I want all of you thinking about this week. The easiest way for you to take control over food is to do the four basics this week. And by the end of the week, you know exactly what it is you truly need to work on going forward. So that you're not sitting around surfing on the Googles all the time looking for all the food that you need to remove from your life. You're spending more time figuring out all the things that I need to change about my emotional eating and my emotional state so I know how to go forward from now on so I never have to diet ever again. So I never have to lose this weight ever again. So that I get to feel the way I want to feel about myself for the rest of my life. All right, so here's my prep this week. Now, I want to just tell you, my shit looks way different than you because I am at the end of my journey. When I first started, you see all those lean cuisines at the end down there? That would be my husband. My husband is still like, he's willing to have a salad each day because I'm like, for fuck's sake, Chris, you got to eat some vegetables. Like, seriously? Because my husband's not it's literally funny because he's like a burger and fry kind of guy. If he orders a burger that has a tomato, I'm just like, praise Jesus, hallelujah. Look at you, you're getting a vegetable and you got them French fries. That's two. We get to chalk up two vegetables today. So he does lean cuisines for dinner every night because he just likes them. They're convenient and easy for him. He does a big salad every day with, I will show you in a picture in a minute. We buy salad dressing by the six pack because Chris eats a bowl of salad about this big and he puts about half a gallon of dressing on it. That's how he rolls. This is what I live with. In the middle, in this middle picture, that's my son's pasta. And he loves pasta and he loves like lo mein and he likes all of those things. And so we always have plenty of that stuff in the house for him. And then what's closest to you, that's all mine. Mine's always the most. Queenie tends to eat more than anybody in the house, but Queenie is also very active. All right, so this is what I'm eating this week. So you'll see at the top, there's my big salad. My salad has all the eggs because I love, since I was a baby, I've loved eggs, cheese, bacon, there's mushrooms, there's, I use kale lettuce instead of regular lettuce because it keeps all week, garbanzo beans, celery, shredded carrots, and a lot of, we have onion in there. And then if we usually have cherry tomatoes in there. My brother has a garden. If he's got a garden, we have cherry tomatoes in there. If not, I don't do tomatoes because I only like my brother's. And then any other vegetables. So like sometimes there's diced peppers in there, whatever. The bottom left, that is spaghetti squash meatballs that came off of Pinterest. You can just look up any spaghetti squash meatballs recipe. I do the spaghetti squash not because I'm a low carb girl, but because I try to get as many vegetables as I possibly can in my diet. And so I like to sneak them in as much as possible. So I do spaghetti squash meatballs with homemade marinara with my brother's tomato sauce. And then on the other side, we call it little doggies and broccoli cheese. I love cheese. I love broccoli. So I have broccoli cheese. And then the little doggies are just little sausages wrapped in bacon and baked. That is my food for the week. If you look in the middle, I've got watermelon. I almost always have watermelon with my salad. I have the little doggies and broccoli for breakfast most days. Sometimes for breakfast, I have Greek yogurt with blueberries and almonds or nuts. As you see, they're bagged over here. I also keep goat cheese every now and then if I just want something different. Sometimes I put a little goat cheese on the side of my spaghetti squash stuff. And sometimes I just have cheese and nuts. Every now and then, if I'm not feeling good and I'm like just tired and don't want a full meal, I'll have just some goat cheese and some nuts for lunch. I keep berries. I keep watermelon. We also keep in the house like bacon potatoes. Every now and then I want a baked potato with my salad, so I just microwave one. I also have a container of broccoli here that I put broccoli inside of my salad. I just love salads. I've loved salads though since I was a baby. And then you'll see the Lucky Charms down here. That's Logan's. We buy the portioned Lucky Charms so that he's not just always eating straight dope out of the box. And then here's like our kitchen of all of our things. So we keep lots of stuff. As you can tell, we love our maple syrup. My son's always got waffles for him to eat. We've got all the ranch dressing, as you can tell. We keep pasta and marinara sauce just in case we all want to just cook one night. We have something. The rice, a lot of times if I want to do, we keep like chicken, like diced chicken frozen inside of the freezer. If I ever want to have chicken and rice, I can do that. I can open up a small can of green beans and put that on the side. My son loves the rice bags. He, like a lot of times, he just wants rice for dinner. So sometimes he'll eat that. I don't make Logan eat anything in particular. I just like to keep a lot of options around and then he can pick. We're big soup eaters. As you can tell, we have tons of soup down here. We also have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches available all the time. I love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. For me, like if I ever just want to have like something different for lunch that day, I'll plan to have peanut butter and jelly for lunch with some fruit. It's just an easy keep around the house. We like the Dave's Killer Bread. My husband loves pork rinds. We have pork rinds. So we just keep things real simple, but we pre-bag things, as you can tell. We do a lot of making sure that stuff is already bagged and already ready. I keep oatmeal on hand in case I want to have oatmeal with some yogurt and fruit. We like to just keep variety, but this is pretty much it. We just keep things simple. We keep a lot of frozen dinners and all that kind of stuff. Beginner tips, bag and portion things the second you get home. I think this was the first thing that I did when I was losing weight was I noticed that if things weren't bagged and portioned, I tended to just graze on them and eat more than I needed. And that if I would go ahead and just portion everything and put it in bags, at least if I was going to go back and get something to eat, I had to make a conscious decision to go back. So I would get one bag, go sit down, eat it. And then if I wanted more, I had that natural stop between the desire and the want to eat of having to get up, think about it all the way to the kitchen, go get it and come back. That puts space between that decision. So what ends up happening is if you just are eating out of the bag, there's no space in your decision. You might think like, oh, you've had too much or, ooh, that's enough. But if your hand is like right there, there's not a big dramatic pause. Like your conscious brain, so that's like your habit part of your brain. The habit part of your brain just sends up things like, you know, ooh, you should just keep eating. It doesn't matter how much. And then your conscious brain is like, what are you doing? We got dreams and goals. Well, your habit brain is very loud. It is supposed to be loud. Its job is to override the conscious brain as much as it can. So if you have to do the walk all the way to the pantry and all the way to the kitchen to go get more, your conscious brain is allowed to stay engaged. So that's why a lot of times I'll see about 50% of overeating drop with people simply by having this one trick. Buy stuff done for you. I can't say enough when you're beginning. Buy shit done for you. Now, if money's an issue, then of course you can't do that. You're going to pay the currency and doing all of your food prep and getting it all portioned for yourself. But if money is like, it's not that it's not an issue for any of us, but if you can afford convenience, then do it in the beginning so that it gets easier. I paid for the convenience in the beginning so that I could get the benefit of choices being easier for me so that I could get used to making healthier choices. It was easier for me to make those. And when I developed that habit, I stopped buying a lot of things portioned because I wanted to save money. And so then I would just bring them home and do it myself. But I didn't do that in the beginning because like it was like the more important thing for me in the beginning was to get into the habit of having those stops, get into the habit of being there for myself. And then plan things you already like and try things when you're ready. I think this is a huge beginner tip. Don't try to recreate the wheel in the beginning. Plan food you already like to eat. Just get used to only eating them when you're hungry. Get used to stopping when you've had enough. For a lot of beginners, I watch you guys flame out because you want to, not only am I going to eat only when I'm hungry and eat only until I'm satisfied. So I'm going to bring up all the doo-doo I have around that. But in the meantime, I'm going to get rid of all the foods that I love so that I'm on the struggle bus there too. Here's what I want to do. I just want to be struggling in all of it. Guys, I'm going to take a brief pause. If the chat's distracting, minimize the chat. Here's a quick tip. Get you some post-it notes. Put it right over your phone. That will be it. But we're not going to turn the chat up. There's like 20% that get distracted, 80% that love it. Both of us get to benefit. So take care of yourself. That's all I got to say about that. And I'm watching the chat and teaching, so it can't be that distracting. I just put it off to the side. So do the same thing for yourself. There is a way to minimize, or you can just get you a fucking post-it note and do it. Don't get focused on your shoulds, beginners. This is the next thing. Be focused on what is logical next step for you. Make sure that you are not putting foods on there that you think you should eat. Make sure that you're not focusing on what you have to do. Listen for that this week. Those are red flags that you are not thinking about. What do I want to do this week? What feels like love this week? What feels doable this week? That is the mindset to be in. What feels like love? What's doable? And what do I want to do? We want to be there. We do not want to be focused on shoulds. We don't want to be focused on have to's. And we don't want to be focused on can't haves. Here's what I want you to think about. If I say you should eat this, or I say you can't have that, or I say you have to do this, you are automatically going to feel constricted. You are automatically going to feel restricted. You are automatically going to want to rebel. The problem is you're the one making all the decisions. So when you're rebelling and when you feel restricted, it's because you're doing it to your own damn self. There is no mega rule that says, and I just want all of you to think about this. Every bullshit rule that you're hanging on to that feels like ass, it is not true. It is another human being has thought this was a good idea. And you are like, oh my God, I think your brain works better than mine. I will just do whatever you say now. Rather than deciding, you know, what feels like love this week? What feels very doable this week? And what do I want this week? You stay in that mindset and what you think about how that feels. It automatically feels lighter. It does not feel constricting. It feels open. It feels curious. That is how I lost weight, was moving out of the mindset of beating myself down into submission and then just thinking about what feels right this week. Like what feels like I could do it? And it all came from that mindset of, I just knew I couldn't afford to keep thinking the way that I was thinking. It was only keeping me stuck. It was keeping me overweight. It was keeping me feeling miserable about myself with my thinking. So I knew that I had to change that if I was going to change anything. All right, so here are my favorite easy meals. I always like to give you guys the easiest stuff. And here they are. Number one, bagged salads. I just thought that when they, I thought that when they came out with like lettuce in a bag, that we were just like, what the fuck's even happened? Like, seriously, who is this genius who has invented this? Then when they came out with bagged salads that had salads in them, like, what? You mean there's a dressing and some toppings? I was like, stop the presses. Like, it was, I don't know, like, as God gifted us. So here I am buying some bagged salads all the time. I take one of those rotisserie chickens from the store and I pull apart the chicken. And then I got me a week worth of chicken right there. And I do the skin. I like the skin. Guess what? It's good, healthy fat. You know what it does? Keeps them fuller longer. So I just pull that bad boy apart. And then I buy those little baggies of carrots and those little pre-portioned hummuses. And there you go. Like, that's an easy meal. If I come back from a trip, if, and I'll be honest, my sister-in-law does our food prep now. I've food prepped for 13 years. And now, so that I get to work on Sundays, get to do calls like this. After you guys, I've got a noon coaching call with my membership for 2 hours where I go ham on the coaching, where I pull them on screen and say, like, what's your deal today? And then at 2 o'clock, I coach our women of color. We have a group of women of color. Today's their day. So my Sundays, I work, not food prepping. So I paid my sister-in-law to do it. I'm like, here, make me this. And she does it now. I suggest if any of you, if you want to make your food real easy, do you have a family member? Do you have someone in your neighborhood who, you know, would love to, loves to cook and would love to prep your meals for you for a just small price? She goes, like, I'm just like, I will pay you this much if you'll just go do the shopping and you will just cook and bring us our food. It works for her. She doesn't have a job. So, like, get creative. You don't have to do this through expensive services and stuff, especially in this day and age. There's probably a lot of people sitting around right now who have time who would love to make some extra money. And if you've got that advantage where you can, like, trade some convenience, like, you know, my weight loss means a lot to me. I'd like to have that done. Or, you know, I want to spend more time moving my body this week or cleaning out my house or starting a new job or starting a business, whatever it is, make your life easier. The other easy meal for me is we keep russet potatoes like crazy in our house, baked potato with cheese, sour cream, and I top it with that damn pulled chicken. Like, that is like a potato can be done in 6 minutes in the microwave. Throw that shit on there and you're good to go. Peanut butter jelly sandwich and cut fruit. I do that a lot when I'm wanting like just sandwiches. I can keep peanut butter and jelly all the time. A sweet potato with peanut butter is like, oh my God, if you've never tried it, I know it sounds gross, but it is fucking delicious. Every single person that joins my membership, at some point, somebody makes the comment about the sweet potato and peanut butter, and they're like, game changer, best dessert ever. And then a side of fruit, that's an easy meal. And then a lot of times when I would come back from, you know, nobody's traveling right now, I'd come back from trips. I would call up our local Mexican restaurant and I would tell them, I want 2 orders of fajitas. I want like a party pack, basically. But here's all I want. I want no tortillas. I don't need the, like, all the stuff. All I need is guac, sour cream, and the meat. And I want you to throw extra vegetables in there. Food prep done. Get some bagged salads and you got like all the stuff. Take some of those bags of rice. Whatever you want. You got all the things you need. Bake a potato. Throw the fajita stuff on there. It's all wonderful. And it's super easy. So here are the three things. The last thing I want to tell you is these are the three things I want you to ask yourself. And I want you all to write about this because it's super important. If you're one of my members and you're here, when you're in your challenge, we're doing call to actions. Well, I'm giving everybody a call to action today. How can I eat today in a way I will like and look forward to? I want you to ask that every single day before you make your 24-hour plans. It's the most important question you'll ask. Number two, I want you to think about your kitchen. So before you go in there and do a manic purge or do anything like that, I want you to ask, what do I want to feel when I walk into my kitchen? knowing how you would like to feel when you walk into your kitchen, I want you to come up with what are the things that I can do that makes feeling that way easier for me. And then make that list, and I just want you to tackle them one at a time. Don't have to do them all overnight. Slowly evolve into it. And then the last thing is, who do I want to be with my eating life? This is where we start thinking about things down the road. Like eventually, who do you want to be with your eating life? Do you want to be comfortable around food? Do you want to be the kind of person who can eat anything at any time and know that you can stop? Do you want to eat healthier? Do you see yourself one day eating more and more vegetables and stuff? I want you to spend some time thinking about who you want to be with your eating life so that your brain has something it's looking forward to. Something that then all you have to do is over time, know that if that's what I want, over time, I want to start making decisions and setting myself up to be that version. And as I said, it does not all have to happen overnight. All right, so let's stop sharing the screen. And I want to take some questions. And Betsy, if you will raise your hand, I'm going to bring you on. There you are. And I want to make sure you guys can see me. I have to. Where's the stop share? There it is. All right. All right, so Betsy, what she's going to do is she's going to be going through the Q&A. I'm going to start looking at the Q&A from the top. And then she's also going to be going through the Q&A and answering some of you guys' questions in there. So we're going to try to answer as many as we can. And let's see. All right. Any tips for a job with a strict lunchtime? Eat during that lunchtime. That's what I would do. If I have a time where I can eat, like this morning, I had a strict breakfast time. I was either going to be eating before this call or I was going to be eating at 3:30 today because I don't have any breaks where I can eat. So I just decided that, you know what, I wasn't super hungry this morning, but knowing that I had a full day of calls where I have to be on, the last thing I wanted to do was get hungry in the middle of someone's coaching session at 12:30. You know, when somebody is sitting there telling you their gut about a binge and stuff, and you've got hundreds of people, you know, watching this call, we have group coaching calls. Just like the, our coaching calls are just like this. And I would just bring someone on and we would talk and all of you would be watching. The last thing I want to do is be sitting there focused on my hunger. So today I just ate. You know what? I'm never going to have a weight problem because I decide to eat intentionally because I know I can't eat for a while. That is not why we have weight problems. We have weight problems when we eat and then all day long we think how unfair it is that we can't eat. And then when we get home, we think we deserve it and we eat overeat. That is what happens. But when you're always thinking about how you're going to take care of yourself with your food and making the absolute best decisions you can in the moment, that is what we have to do. What if you have to unexpectedly go out to eat? You decide if you're hungry. Are you hungry or not? What is the worst thing that would happen if, like, seriously, I go out to eat all the time and I don't eat. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. If I'm not hungry, guess what I'm doing? Enjoying the conversation. And I tell people, I'm just not hungry. I just enjoy something to drink. It literally is not the end of the world. The worst that happens is somebody will say, like, I can't believe you're not eating. It's like, yeah, well, I made an agreement with myself that I wasn't ever going to eat ever again when I wasn't hungry. I just think it's a waste of my time. And then the other part that sucks is when you first start doing it, you're going to think, oh my God, I'm so weird. Oh my God, this is blah, blah, blah. You know what's weird? Eating when you're not hungry. That's weird. And yet for some reason, we don't think it is. Like literally going out to eat and eating just because, that's kind of weird. But if you don't think of it as weird, guess what? You eat because you're afraid of what someone else might think. Or you eat because you have thought errors. Let's see. My fridge went out and I had to throw everything away. I'm not cooking because I have nowhere to store food. How do I meal plan until it gets fixed? Well, Rhonda, I'm a guessing that you're eating anyway. You plan for whatever it is that you've been eating. So if you are ordering out, you plan what you're going to eat and where you're going to eat from. Like, I want you to think about this. You're making this ultra confusing, and it's not confusing at all. Unless your fridge went out and you're like, well, looks like for a week I won't be eating anything. I can't eat unless my fridge is running. Then you would plan nothing. But I'm assuming that you're eating. So you just plan for what you're going to eat. So if you're going to eat out, decide, am I going to eat salads? Am I going to eat burgers? Am I going to eat bullshit? What am I going to eat? It's just like, challenge yourself to make a decision. If my fridge went out right now, I want all of you to just think about it. If my fridge went out today, I mean, we got a flood in my backyard. So today I could maybe even not be at my house for the next few days if the water comes in. Do you think I'll be sitting there going like, well, I don't know how I'm going to ever be able to eat. I don't know how I would make a plan. No, if I was like in a hotel, you know, the first thing I would do is look at the room service menu and decide what I'd be eating the next few days. Boom and done. If there was a McDonald's across the street, I'd figure out what all I'd be eating at that McDonald's, and that would be it, and it would be boom, and it would be done. I would just make decisions. I wouldn't sit around stewing that I have somehow no control over what I put in my mouth ever. Guys, stop acting like you have no control over what you put in your mouth. You're always the only one in control. Unless someone holds you down and shoves the Twinkie straight into your mouth, you are always the one that's in control. It may not feel like it. You may have thoughts that go and argue with you about it, but at the end of the day, I want you to always remind yourself, no one made me eat anything. I just decided to. And all I need to do is figure out why I decided to. I need to know more about that so that I can understand my reasons why. And stop acting like it's something else happening to me so I get to take control and make food easy for me for the rest of my life. What are some better thoughts around the scale when you think I've been doing so good this week? Why did the scale go up, not move, only go down? I'm really struggling with this. Liz, we're going to talk about this on, I think it's on next Friday. So make sure you come back for Friday because I will be covering that. I've got no video. Oh, okay. It probably should be back on. Let's see. What are some words to replace my negative thoughts at night when I start wanting to snack? I start thinking, well, you did good the last two nights without snacking, so it won't hurt to snack tonight. So Lisa, this is what you want to do. This is a self-sabotage. All you want to do is know like, all right, so I know that my pattern is after a couple of days where I do what I say I'm going to do, my brain starts saying like, well, now we can have. You want to know that sentence and have a plan for when that sentence comes up now. So rather than just being like, what do you do in that moment? You need to decide when this sentence happens, I need to come back with this side of the argument. So if it's, let's see. You did so good the last couple of nights. A little won't hurt. The problem with that sentence is that it always feels good. It feels very entitled. It feels very justified. It sounds like a good idea, right? So that's when you have to come back with, I did do good the last couple of nights. And I woke up feeling really proud. And I woke up feeling all of these things. That's how I would like to keep going. And you just turn the conversation to a really positive, feel good conversation. What I watch most of you do is like, you'll say, ooh, you deserve it. You've been good the last couple of nights. And you're like, oh, fuck. That's a negative thought. I can't have that thought. If I keep thinking that, I'm going to eat. And then you gin up the anxiety and the stress. That's not what we want to do. We want to come back with feeling like we have rewarded ourselves with our thinking around what has happened. So when you're in the I deserve it mode, it's to go back and be like, oh yeah, you actually did really good. You actually did do all these things and you got to wake up feeling this way and all of these things. And so you want to switch the conversation around to where the reward is coming from that. The other thing I will tell all of you guys is that a lot of you are, if you watched yesterday's video, if you didn't, please go back and watch it because at the end I talk about this. A lot of you are doing really good things, but you're not overemphasizing the really good things with yourself. So one of the things that we're teaching inside of my membership that we really focus on is our planner is designed this way. It's got questions around it. We have, we talk about on our coaching calls, we do challenges and all this other stuff, is whatever you're doing right, if your brain is trained to think about the negative, which all of our brains are, you have to have a process to and do where your brain is thinking about what's going right. Anybody who's in the I deserve it mentality is usually stuck in it because when things are going right, they're not thinking about the thing. They're not giving themselves credit. They're not writing about how it makes them feel, all the benefits. They're not doing a lot of that work. So there's like, oh, got through another day. I feel really good. Okay, let's hope for today. Let's hope we keep the momentum going. We do a lot of this frantic panic thinking of like, I hope this continues. We're not really giving our brain clear direction on that it is working. There's a difference between it is working mentality and I hope it continues mentality. And so, you know, it's a process. This is why most of the people who end up like, people always ask me, what's the difference between the podcast and being a member? That we work on that stuff. The podcast doesn't, we don't really work on that. Like, you're not going to have systems and processes and daily reminders and all the things over there. You just get like a lot of talk about the four basics and things make sense, but there's no system to back it up. Can't put a system in the process. I mean, in the podcast. So that is one of the things you have to work on. I deserve it mentality comes from a lack of knowing how to reward yourself mentally. It goes back to those self conversations. I assume this means not bringing trigger foods in the house, at least for now. I don't agree with that. If you like, here's the thing. When I first started losing weight, there were certain foods I didn't bring into the house, not because I couldn't have them. I did not ever tell myself like, you can't have these. We're taking these out. You have no self-control. I want you to think about the conversation. You can't afford to keep removing foods from your house and telling yourself this sad victim, I'm no good, I can't handle shit story around it. We have to start telling ourselves, you know, look, these are the things I'm going to keep in my house. I'm going to get really good at eating and I'm going to get into my habits and stuff. Then I'll be reintroducing these other foods because I want to include them in my life. It is an entirely different conversation. But I tell people all the time, I don't care if you keep trigger foods in the house. I don't think it's a problem at all because then at least you're getting triggered and you start looking at, oh, because I think this, it's just, it lays your blueprint out faster. You start figuring out things that like you have difficulties with. It's not the food. Trigger foods are funny because I don't really love the idea of the word trigger around food. The food isn't like, the food isn't at fault because the food doesn't make you eat it or anything. What happens is you have a food that triggers a thought process in your brain. That thought process is what we need to work on, not the removal of the food. We need to work on the thought processes around those foods and change that. And the first step is to notice what foods are doing that and what is your conversation and fears and worries around those foods. You have to know all of that before you can even start gaining authority over it. Otherwise, you guys, what you do is you end up just removing foods from your life, but you're still left with all the fear around food. So it's like, I don't have all these foods now. And you're sitting there like, okay, thank God, I won't be triggered. Until you go to the grocery store, until the one day that you see it and you want to put it back in the house. until you want to try to eat it without ever have like practiced anything that you're going to think around it. And you're right back to where you were. I like to work on there never being a food that triggers me ever again. There's food and there are ways that I think about food. And I just want to be really good and in tune with how I think about food. On the 24-hour plan, can I pick from more than one of the choices I usually make? Seems like this is a way I can get to making a sticking with not so many choices. Yeah, you guys, if you want to put on your plan like a couple of choices each day for lunch and stuff like that, that's fine. Go ahead and do that. Okay, this is good. I lost 70 pounds following Corinne. Then did a challenge with another group because my weight loss had stalled. I didn't feel deprived at the time. A lot of times you won't feel deprived at the time because you're really focusing and like, oh, my weight's moving again. But I'm now putting weight back on. I wonder why. How do I get back on track? I have good intentions every day, but then end up eating too much too often. The best way to get back on track is to make it doable. Quit trying to go back to where you were. A lot of times, guys, you're not going to feel deprived when you're doing like what I just call crazy ass diets. You will feel compelled. You will feel good, but you won't understand it's not about the food. It's like if you're losing some weight, yeah, you'll feel good because you're having good thoughts about the weight loss. But if you're thinking things like I have to eat this, you might not feel deprived, but you may feel restricted. You may feel like, let me ask you this, when you do those other diets, if I said, well, let's eat this, would you be like, oh no, can't have that? That should be a red flag. There should be no off-limit foods when it comes to losing weight. If you have off-limit foods, it should be because you don't like them. Or you have an overwhelming reason to not eat it. I'll give you an example. My niece, who's 18, when she has gluten, she has a violent attack in her stomach with about 30 minutes afterward, and she shits her pants no matter where she's at, including high school, her car, and a host of other places that she has crapped herself. Do you know what she purposely restricts from her diet after about 10 blowouts in her pants? Gluten. She never feels deprived. You know why? She always reminds herself in the moment that she wants to eat some, I would like to not shit my pants today. I'm 18. If you've got a health condition, that's one thing. But 99% of you sitting here don't have a health reason. You know what you have? A reason to figure out how you want to have your food life in a way that each day you feel ease and you feel comfort and you feel good about yourself. And when you're eating trash because you feel bad about yourself, that's not comfort. That's escaping. So like the best thing that I would tell you, Mary, is to get back on track is what I tell everyone. Pick something and do it today for where you're at today. You may not be where you were with me when you went and did this other challenge. That's okay. When you got really good at doing my shit, guess what? You weren't where you were at the end. You were where you started. So figure out today where you're at and quit trying to start where you were. I have a 200 pounds to lose. Anything to focus on for the longer term? No, I would get really more focused on like the next 30 days, like, or even this week. Like this week, I really want to work on this one thing and I want to get good at that. I have a podcast, and I don't remember which one it is, but where I talk about when you are thinking about the things that you need to change, guys, especially like think about it with the food since we're talking food prep. If you just changed out one small thing and focused it every single week on getting really good at this one little thing, like for some people in my group, what we do is we will say like, all right, for this week, we're all going to leave two bites behind. We're all going to get used to leaving just two bites behind no matter what. If you normally leave two, leave four. Just so that we're all practicing seeing food left behind, throwing it away, not finishing it. Like, there's so many benefits to just going through the process for a week. You focus on that. You accomplish a lot. And then the next week, you're like, all right, this week I'm going to continue to leave two bites behind. And this week I really want to focus on my water, whatever it is. A lot of people are crazy where they are just like, oh no, it's not moving fast enough, blah, blah, blah. The only reason why any of you want to lose weight fast, the people who want to lose weight fast are the people who are saying, I know that I'll feel better when I lose my weight. So I want to get there because I want to get away from who I am right now. Here's what I always tell people. Practice more patience with yourself. Dial the habits in one at a time, because if you did one small habit every single week in 52 weeks, you will have changed 52 food habits. 52. That's a fuck time. And the more habits you change, the faster weight loss starts happening. But in the beginning, it is a little bit slower, but you're in it for the long haul. And guess what you do while you start slow? It gives you more time to work on liking yourself now. The reason why people want to lose weight fast is because they think they're going to like themselves at the end. It's the vast majority of you. Every one of you, ask yourself right now, why do I want to lose weight? What do I think is going to be happening in my life? We're going to talk more about this on Wednesday, but as a sneak peek, since you asked, Ruth, what do I think my life would be like? What all is going to change for me? My specialty is making sure that whatever that is, not only does that happen, but that you get to start learning how to experience some of that now, because the only way to get there, seriously, is for us to figure out for you to have relief now, for you to be able to feel some feelings now, for you to have pride now, for you to not hate yourself now, for you to be able to have good conversations with yourself now, to get motivated now. Cannot keep waiting. Can't keep practicing the same sad diet mentality that one day I'm going to feel so much better about myself because I lost my weight. You will feel better in some ways about yourself. But if you are the judge, jury, and convictor of yourself today, you will be the same way at the end. You will still be hard on yourself. Every time somebody says, like, this is the thing, when you first lose weight, you feel amazing. You just do. You've accomplished something you never thought you could. But a few months in, your boss still talks to you the same way. They don't be like, oh my God, Corinne, I'm going to give you a raise because, like, I forgot you lost 100 pounds. Oh, wait, you wear a size 8? I was going to yell at you like I normally do for the way that you, sit in your chair. But, you know, today I realized you were thin. If you worry about what your mother thinks of you, your friends think of you, if you worry incessantly about your children, let me tell you what doesn't happen at 150 pounds. None of that goes away unless you learn how to change your relationship with yourself so that you're no longer a worrier, so that you're no longer someone who cares what other people's opinions about you more than you do your own. All of that has to happen through weight loss. Otherwise, you're just 150 pounds, still worrying about what everybody thinks about you, still worrying about your kids, still being hard on yourself and thinking you're a shit mom or whatever it is that you think about you. You just have moments where you're like, well, I'm a shitty mom, but I can wear a size 8. That only goes so far. All right, let's do this. The sweet potato recipe is easy. Bake a sweet potato and smear peanut butter on it. Boom, and you're done. You don't even have to bake it in the oven. Go microwave it. Go to the Pinterest. How do I bake a sweet potato in the microwave? And if you really want to get fancy, throw that son of a bitch in the oven, and then you just smear peanut butter on it. That's it. All right, guys, we are going to get out of here. If you did not get your question answered and you would like it answered, you can take it over to our Facebook group and post it in there. I've got myself, my coaches, my community. They are all in there this week. A lot of our girls that have lost weight with me are over there helping you guys out, doing all the things. We are working together. I want to make sure that you get as much help as you can get this week. So please use that group as much as possible. If you have not joined the Facebook group and you are in this challenge, please feel free to go join it. Your emails, the Hub replay page, everything has links on there, links to join the Facebook group. It's not too late to get in there and see what we're doing over there, okay? Otherwise, I'll see everybody tomorrow at 10 a.m. Central Time. And here's what we're going to do. Tomorrow, we are going to eat together. So I'm going to be bringing a meal. It's either going to be my lunch or my breakfast, depends on whatever. But I'm eating my first meal, sitting here at my desk with you guys to kind of just show you like how to deliberately slow down eating, how to pay attention and do some of those things. Feel free to bring your own food if you would like, where you could eat with me. I will just warn you, it will be painfully slow, way slower than you would ever dream it would be. I do this exercise in a different format with my members about once every 8 weeks, where we all eat a fuck it food together and we examine it and stuff. So we're going to do like the beginner's version of this. It's always a hit inside our membership. So do that. If you are also someone who's watching this video live on Zoom and you don't like the comments, I do highly recommend bring you some sticky notes tomorrow and make sure that you minimize your chat and you just cover it up. No way you don't even have to see them. All right. And I will see you guys later. Bye, y'all.